The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So, any idea where the president's going on the auto tariffs?
Probably nowhere. Because if you're talking about a 25% tariff on imported cars, trucks, and auto parts... that's a non-starter. Because he's talking about, and, you know, they're looking at this as, all right, this is a matter of national defense.
That's bogus.
It is,
that's
completely
bogus.
Because what they're saying was, he was, Wilbur Ross saying that it is a matter of, as they spelled out the national defense, basically the impact on domestic automakers. Well, now let's talk about the impact of a tariff such as this on domestic automakers. Domestic automakers use foreign components and parts to build their cars and trucks. So that becomes a problem. And beyond that, what you're saying is that we don't want this kind of global participation, which... It's way too late to start deciding this, because the marketplace has already put this into motion. You start putting 25% tariffs on foreign cars, on imported cars, trucks, and auto parts, then you're going to raise the cost of all of the other cars. By the way, one of the reasons that they're reviewing the CAFE standards, all of the EPA standards for the automakers, is because, and they stated this, the current administration, is because of the cost imposed, and it's a government cost imposed against the consumer. This would be as well. So asking them to look into it, to investigate this situation, is one thing. You start moving in the direction of a 25% tariff on imported cars, trucks, and auto parts, you're going to drive up the cost of most people's second largest, and many people's actual first or number one largest investment and cost behind a home. But if you're not a homeowner, this would be your largest purchase. You're going to hurt the economy in a big way, and it's going to be felt by middle-income, low-income families, the hardest, of course.
Has Larry Kudlow been out promoting this? I haven't seen Larry out promoting this one.
I haven't seen Larry in a while, and Rudy Giuliani has said yesterday he hasn't talked to the president in about 2 weeks. I'm wondering what was the point on either of those appointments or hirings? You're not going to win this.
Well,
and by the way, they're trying to work right now in the whole NAFTA thing. One of the points of negotiation is with Canada and autos. You're trying to work out a deal there. There are very few moves here, if any. I haven't seen any. Someone might be able to point one out to me, maybe a Larry Kudlow, where we could work a better deal on that. Again, I don't know all the details. When it comes to auto parts or automakers, domestic versus imports and everything else, and what's built in Canada and what's not, the point being is there's very little wiggle room, especially when you start talking about applying a 25% tariff on those imports.
Well, this president is all over the map every single day on tariffs, but using... One of the biggest lies from this administration is the whole national security angle for tariffs.
Right.
It's a lie.
Yep. That's not the case here.
That's a lie from the administration. They know it's got nothing to do with national security. They know they just have no other way to sell it except that it's for national security. Mm-hmm. But the president, if he says that, he is lying.
Right.
The administration coming out and saying that, they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all over the place. One day the markets are like, oh, okay, whew. All right, with China, it looks like. Then the next day, this.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make any type of negotiating sense. It was brought up the other day from the Wall Street Journal. They said, Trump had all this tough talk about China. China, so far, is winning big time from their point of view of protectionism. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I disagree. That's the political winning of it by the protectionism. But economically, you lose long term when you put tariffs on a product.
Yeah.
You cannot raise the cost of goods and services in your country and make the economy better. So if Trump's trying to do that, which, again, we don't know what he's trying to do because he's all over the place on it, nothing makes sense. But when he played hardball with China, and all of a sudden the beginning of this week, it was like, well, wait a minute. The analysis is China's keeping and getting protectionism of most of their stuff. Really, nothing's changing. And so is it the fact that the president's getting blowback, so he's trying to act tough on it because he got criticized with the China deal earlier in this week, and it's simply a response to it? But the part is, when the president lies about something like this, it's got nothing. Steel and aluminum, when they talked about that, nothing to do with national security whatsoever when mm-hmm. they promoted that. They lied on that, and they're lying on this. And something that he doesn't have to lie on. There's no reason to lie when it comes to trade and still come out and have a better trade negotiation. For some reason, he feels the need to do so.
He doesn't have to do that. All he has to do, look, if he wants to make the case for getting a better deal, trade deal, then make the case.
Right.
And have Larry Kudlow go out and make that case where you're getting a whatever he wants to call it, a more balanced deal or whatever it is. And make your case. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. But don't start on that premise when it's not the point. The point is the negotiation of trying to get a better deal. I believe that. I believe that's what he's trying to do. He's floating this idea. Otherwise, he would have come out and said, no, we're putting, if he really believed it and thought it was a good thing, then he would have said, no, and we're going to impose these tariffs. That's not what he said. He said, we're going to look into possibly imposing these tariffs.
But the reason is a lie.
It is. And you don't even have to, you right. don't have to do
the national
that.
Security angle, both right. for aluminum, steel, and this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not the case, he can't, but it sounds good.
Well,
it's a nice selling point. I'm trying to save the country, and this is of national security, and it wasn't. In fact, it was the opposite with aluminum and steel.
Mm-hmm.
Having more suppliers that could provide it and have more competition and different suppliers, not just on the United States, makes you safer
mm-hmm.
in case of a national emergency by having more suppliers, not less safe.
Right.
And that was so easily discounted when he did that. And so for him to go back to the well to something that blew up in his face last time is just ridiculous. It's so dumb, and he doesn't need to do it.
Well,
he's had so many successes, and this to me is just so dumb.
Well, because it doesn't work. It doesn't fly with anybody. It doesn't.
No.
I'd love to see Larry Kudlow defend this.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see whether he's out there because the
and defend the reason for it.
Yeah.
Make the case.
Because you're not talking about. You're talking about the stealing of our technology.
No. And you're not talking about building military equipment for
right.
us. You know, a
right.
foreign nation building military equipment. No. No, we're talking about, and they pretty much explained it by saying, well, it's had a negative impact on domestic automakers. We get that, but that's, what does that have to do with national defense? Because if you're going to extrapolate that out, there's a number of things. Then you basically would stop all imports. Forget about tariffs. Stop all imports. If they have had a negative on the domestic producers of their product in their industry,
and
you could make that case for every product that's imported, stop them all today if
right.
you could make the case. But you can't.
Right. If you're making the case that because there's competition, it can hurt domestic producers because they can't compete, and that's national security, then you stop all trade tomorrow.
I would say that the opposite is true. I would say that that competition makes our producers better.
I agree with you on that.
And I think it has. I think we've seen, especially with trucks and SUVs, I believe we've seen domestic automakers come a long way.
And that's why we said when Larry Kudlow got put in there, I said, well, that's like putting me in there.
Yeah.
So how would I defend what the president's doing right now? Maybe that's why I just get so frustrated at it, because mm-hmm. I've seen the president and his successes, and I don't see the four-dimensional chess move in this one when it failed in last time.
Right.
And was so easily blown apart by any economist, you know, worth their salt. It's like, stop it.
Well, because then you look at the dealerships, right? Let's look at all the Toyota, Hyundai, Kia dealerships, and now look at the bays and their service bays. Add up all the jobs. Add up all the businesses in all of those locations. I mean, you know, in a city like ours, in all major cities, the dealerships are everywhere, and they often have. In fact, one brand of dealership will have sometimes both domestic and foreign, right? So now imagine those that have domestic and foreign, where it's mixed, where they may have some imports on the lot. Well, now you're asking that dealership to compete with itself. That if you want this, if you want to go over to that lot, it's going to cost you 25% more. Because keep in mind, it's the consumer. It's not the companies that pay this. It's the consumer that pays this. And if you choose to buy an import, then you're going to have to pay 25% more.
Which, by the way, blows most of the tax cut mm-hmm. that you got.
Yeah, exactly.
If that's what you're
saying. Right.
All right, more calls and comments coming up. A lot of people lined up still wanting... and we understand why, to talk about the NFL and their new policy. We'll get to Fred, Kevin, and more. If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
In 2017, 41.4% of road check violations were a result of issues related to vehicle brake systems. Not only is it important to keep your brake system in tip-top shape to avoid being placed out of service, it's necessary in order to keep your vehicle running at optimal performance. Here's a tip to keep your brake system in the best shape possible. Drain your air tanks daily. Brake system air tanks, while often overlooked, are a crucial part of proper maintenance. Pay attention to the amount of water and contaminants that escape. Too much moisture in the tanks is not good and can indicate that the air dryer is not functioning properly. The next CBSA International Road Check is June 5th to the 7th, so be sure to get inspected today.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Fred in San Jose, California. Fred, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, gentlemen. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm a retired Marine and now a truck driver. When I served my country, I raised my hand not to defend popular opinion, but to support and defend the Constitution. Part of that Constitution is the right to peaceful protest.
Not on your boss's time, it's not, Fred.
Yeah, not on your boss's time.
I'm a citizen regardless of when. I don't stop becoming a citizen when I punch in my clock.
Yeah, actually, you do.
Fred,
you don't have a right to do something on someone else's property and inside their organization.
Yeah, actually, you do, Fred. You do. You are.
I am on the clock right now, mm-hmm. and I'm expressing my First Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm. But your boss can tell you can't make phone calls on our time, and then what?
Then I'm an owner operator, so I'm my own boss.
That's okay. You just answered
the question. And if you were a company driver, Fred, if you were a company driver, then that company could tell you no phone calls on the job. We don't want you calling while you're behind the wheel or any time on the job. Right? They could do that, right?
They can say they can say whatever they want. They can't suppress my right to freedom of speech.
Well, but you could decide you were not going.
Trying to do. Fred,
they can tell you what they can tell you what you're going to do on their time, right?
Of course they can.
Exactly. That's our point.
That's our point. Colin Kaepernick is on their time.
He can go anywhere he wants to.
Your point is that he is being disrespectful to the flag and to veterans.
It is not. That is not our point.
Your point that you called to argue was he has a right to issue his speech anywhere and anytime he wants, and that's false.
Right. Our point has got nothing to do. Our point.
It is.
Our point
you just said it. His boss can keep him from doing that on the job.
She can say not to do it. She can't keep him from doing it.
Yeah, actually, she can decide he's no longer with the organization,
and then she can terminate him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that means he doesn't have the right to do it there. He doesn't have the right to what you're implying. No, he doesn't.
That's the difference.
So an employer can't force you to do something. Then an employer can't force you to do something on the job. Fred, an employer can't force you to do something on the job.
If you want to sit there and attack somebody, let's attack the.
I'm not attacking anybody. We're talking about somebody's rights.
Fred, don't change the topic now, Fred. Let's stay on the topic.
I'm not attacking anybody. We're talking about somebody's rights, aren't we?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Those rights don't exist on your boss's time. Those rights don't exist on your boss's time. He can go do that on his own time.
What about whenever they said, "Hey, you can protest by being inside the locker room"?
That's not what they said. That's not what they said. They said you can decide whether you're going to take part in the national anthem or not. And by the way, they can also decide
that's
that. No. That wasn't about freedom of speech. That was the NFL issuing a rule. That's different.
They can decide, Fred,
everybody is going to protest for 3 hours. We're going to have a protest every day. If they decide that, that's different. That does not constitute your right.
It's not a 3-hour protest, gentlemen. Now you're using hyperboles. We're going to sit here and protest for the whole game.
Fred, you're trying to make the point that you can do anything you want and say anything you want on your boss's time, and the fact is you don't have the right to do that. You can do it. If you do it, they can punish you. There is no right to do that. That is not your First Amendment right.
We thank you for your call, Fred.
We're not going to sit here. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. You clearly don't know the Constitution.
Well, Fred, you've really. I mean, this is where critical thinking skills are really lacking. With all due respect, Fred, because you agreed that if you had a boss, they could tell you can't make phone calls.
That's right.
No, I'd make them anyway, and then they could fire me. Mm-hmm. That's our entire point.
That doesn't mean you have the right to do it.
Right, it's over. And Eric's point, not to speak for you, but Eric's point was the fact that the NFL could say, we want all the players must protest.
Yes.
That anybody can protest whenever they want. And you said that he was engaging in hyperbole. No, he wasn't. What he was stating was, they're the boss. They can order whatever they want.
They can have
whatever policy they want.
They can make their own rules. The Constitution does not protect you in terms of your time or your boss's time and your actions on your boss's time.
With all due respect, to go back to our original talk on this, Fred, you are ignorant when it comes to the concept of freedom of speech. You don't know what the Constitution is about.
You can think whatever you want to, but this isn't about think. This is about protest.
It's not what I think or what you think. It's what is and what the actual law is, and you don't understand the ultimate law of the First Amendment of the United States.
There is no constitutional right to protest on your boss's property or on your boss's time.
Company time.
do-gooder tough guys, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. By the way, I want to thank Fred for his service to this country. It is
absolutely
appreciated. But it is frustrating. And when just so you know, when I use the term ignorance, because a lot of people don't understand that, ignorance means lack of facts.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you're stupid. Ignorance means you're making a point and arguing with the lack of facts. The government was not punishing Colin Kaepernick to Fred. That's your freedom of speech is the government punishing you or restricting your right to free speech.
That's what you fought for, because the government cannot do that. There's no government action against Colin Kaepernick or any of these players who have been protesting. This is the NFL. You didn't defend this country to protect people from NFL punishment.
And actually, yes, when I do work for an employer, I do give up some of my rights. I don't have the right of assembly and free speech at work.
Right. Just as they wouldn't have it in your truck.
They wouldn't have it in your truck.
If someone who disagreed with you and wanted to protest, you know, based on whatever, you're an owner operator, your business is that truck. They couldn't jump inside your truck and decide that they're going to protest in that truck.
What really amazes me is, and if you listen to the whole show, the last caller was not a plant, because I had said earlier, I said, you know, you can sit there and the ignorance, and we talk about it out there, the lack of facts that people don't have in their arguing points, and I said we could sit there all day and talk about, as we have before, about how the majority of the country doesn't know anything about the separation of powers. They can't tell you about the three branches of government. They don't even know why we exist as a society. What made this country different? What made the country exceptional? Of course, people on the left object to when somebody says and talks about American exceptionalism, because they have no idea even how the country was formed, what it's about, what the branches of government are about. And I said the same thing about the Constitution, that so many people have no idea what the First Amendment is about. Unfortunately, our last caller, Fred, is one of them. And he doesn't even understand the First Amendment to the United States. And I said, even if we explain it to them, I said this earlier in the show, they're still going to stick by it, that it's still wrong and the free speech is being violated, even though we went point by point with Fred and he agreed with us.
Look,
he actually agreed with us that if he had a boss and worked for a company in his truck, and the company told him he can't do it, that the company has a right to do it, but still claimed his rights were being violated.
Well, if they have the right to do that, then they haven't violated your rights in any way.
Exactly. And he agreed with that, but still, that's how, and that's why I said earlier, ignorance is bliss. You get a comfort out of sticking to a point of view, even if you publicly state that you understand the entire concept. You still, for some reason, ignorance, I don't know why, ignorance for a lack of facts, for some reason, emboldens some people to just stick to their point of view, even when they come 99.9% to the point of telling you they understand exactly what you're talking about and they agree with you, and that somebody has a right, their employer has a right to do it, but their rights are still being violated. If your rights are being violated, you could sue the NFL then and win. He can't win, because First Amendment and freedom of speech is not about you and your private sector work. It's not about you being on somebody else's property and being paid by them. Yes, you lose rights at that moment. You can regain those rights immediately walking out of work.
Mm-hmm.
But you are giving your time and energy. You lose a ton of different things. Hey, at work, you can lose the... life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You lose two of them in work, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to work, you lose liberty. Well, you're exchanging liberty in the pursuit of happiness for the pursuit of money, which may bring you happiness down the road.
Yes.
Because that's, look, you can say you disagree with the NFL's take on this and that they should allow, they should have a rule that allows the players to do this protest. Okay, fine. That has nothing to do with the First Amendment rights. Again, the government is not involved here. The government is not keeping Colin Kaepernick from issuing his opinion. They're not punishing him for issuing his opinion. End of story. And the NFL, right. the Constitution that you served and the country you served and our Constitution, is not about protecting people from NFL punishment or rules. It's about the government punishment or rules. Now, many Bills fans would like to amend the Constitution that guarantees them the rights to at least one more Super Bowl. But that's probably not going to happen. I think we all know that's not going to happen for many reasons. But the point being is that there is no government involvement here. End of story.
And our point, and I love it when somebody tries to tell us what we think, that our point was Colin Kaepernick is offending veterans, and that's wrong, and he should be punished. No, that's not it.
No.
As we said, if I wanted to protest something that I believed in, which was the disrespect for our veterans and the disrespect for our police officers, if I wished to protest that, and I work for the NFL and wish to have a protest of my own, I wouldn't have any expectation that they would allow me to do that.
Right.
Why? Because I'm there to do a job and play football. They're paying me. I can do other things that I wish off of work. So this isn't even about what he is protesting about, even though we went into the specifics of what he was protesting about.
Yeah,
we did go in it, but that's not the issue here. The issue is the First Amendment issue that is brought up by liberals, which started the whole conversation, which Fred brought up because we had discussed earlier that Michael Moore had brought up the whole First Amendment and free speech thing. And we have said it's not a free speech issue.
No,
and never has been a free speech issue. And people on the left continue, even though every single legal argument is thrown against them, will still stick to that point of view as Fred did. And that's what we said earlier. You can't convince them, even as if Fred did, said he agreed with us, still disagree with us after he agreed with us.
Right.
Wow. That's stubbornness.
Well, again, just ask yourself the question about that part of the First Amendment. Very simple. Is the government punishing Colin Kaepernick or any of the protesters? Are they keeping them from issuing their opinion? Nope. End of story. NFL doesn't fall anywhere in that Constitution. No consideration for it. You're not being protected from the NFL. You as a citizen are protected from punishment of the government, by the government, for your opinion. That's that part of the First Amendment.
How are you and I going to survive another 10 years when our debates are basically on the basic tenets of what our society is built upon, and a significant number of people have no idea what they are? We've talked about this, how the discussion really has changed, where we used to talk about, liberal versus conservative politics, and now we talk about what is versus what isn't.
Well, because it's funny that the two things that we're talking about this morning, the other one being the Twitter non-decision.
Yeah.
This U.S. District Judge in Manhattan, Naomi Buchwald. I wonder if she's related to Art, the late Art Buchwald. Stopped short of her written decision of ordering Trump or a subordinate to stop the practice of blocking critics from viewing his Twitter account saying it was enough just to point out that it was unconstitutional. In other words, I'm going to say something and it will mean nothing.
It does set up a precedent that probably won't be challenged because there is no harm. She didn't make them. He's going to continue to block, but it's not. It'll be interesting to see what happens or what the administration does.
An opinion isn't necessarily the precedent. It's the precedent would be in a decision. No decision or order came from, you know, this. Basically, it was just a statement effectively by this judge. Right. So there's nothing to challenge by the Justice Department. They're saying, the representatives are saying, well, we're going to look at our next step. I don't know that there is a next step. There's nothing to do here. Because she can say that, and you can say, it is not, and neither one has an effect. You know, did not.
It's like our last phone call. Yes,
exactly.
It is, no,
well,
it isn't.
I mean,
yes, it is, no, it isn't.
That's basically it. But if you were to ask, I'm sure, ask Judge Buchwald here, this U.S. District Judge in Manhattan, then do you believe that these players then have the right in this? And because if you're saying that Twitter is a public forum, it's not a public forum. But if you're saying that, then, well, let's see. NFL games are broadcast. First of all, there's, you know, tens of thousands of people at these games. They're also broadcast to tens of millions of people. You know, which have access to them, not necessarily tens of millions watching each game, but that have access to that game, right? So I could see her making the case that each game is also a public forum, and so that the NFL could not issue such punishment. They should be able to do this, these players,
the
field.
But again, as you pointed out, in the Twitter thing, the government is not setting up the rules to punish or limit any type of free speech. The only group that is giving you is created the rules to limit free speech on Twitter or Facebook by blocking are the rules and regulations of that private organization.
And the president doesn't have any greater power over any follower than anybody else on Twitter, any other user on Twitter. By the way, I was just reading Newsweek, did an article. It was, 29% of the president's Twitter followers are fake. They're not real. Which came out to like 15 million in his case. Then they pointed out only 15% of Obama's followers on Twitter are fake, which is also about 15 million. They didn't do the math because the percentage worked better in their favor for Newsweek.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. Let's go to John in Los Angeles. John, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome. Hi.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Hi. Y'all,
first of all, I'm a black Donald Trump supporter, and I'm going to vote for him again in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about on the kneeling, that I agree with everything that you're saying, but the Black Lives Matter is getting ready to pick up steam again for the simple fact that the same day the NFL came out with the ruling that they did, the camcorder police video of Milwaukee Bucks basketball player, he was a rookie, and he double parked in a handicap zone at a Walgreens store, and it was about six police that surrounded him, and they ended up tasing him, taking him down. His face was all scuffed up from the concrete, and he still went to the basketball game and played the same night with a scuffed up face. So he's filing a civil rights lawsuit. So the Black Lives Matter is going to pick up steam again. And the police, this happened in January, but the video just was released yesterday. But what the thing is, he was only supposed to get a ticket for the parking violation. That's one thing, and I don't think that they knew who he was. And that's why they let him go to play the game the same night. So it's getting ready to all start up again.
Well, I mean, but it's always going to start up.
I don't know that it ever went away.
Yeah, it's always going to be. Here's the point, because we had brought this up before. People expect this like perfect 100% solution. Mm-hmm. This is always going to be an issue. You're always going to have in society. You're going to have police make mistakes. You're going to have bad police. You're going to have bad people. It's always going to happen. So to sit there and say, well, this incident happens, they're going to be back. Well, they never went away. And if it's a legit situation, it should be investigated. Nobody's stating that our society is all of a sudden going to become perfect tomorrow and everything's going to be fine and all these problems and challenges will go away.
No.
So I don't know what the expectation is at times. Of course, we're always going to face these things and always the overreach of law enforcement, FBI, Department of Justice, will always be an issue that will naturally be on talk radio, won't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. In the news today, all right, we put the tweet up, and it's on our Facebook page. It's just something I found interesting yesterday from Cheryl Atkinson, the former CBS investigative reporter, and it was funny because I happened to see it on Twitter yesterday, and I said, this is something I got to post because it was unique. And it said, she said, we all know about the Trump-Russia collusion timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually puts both of them in this article here. And she said, but nobody talks about the collusion against Trump timeline.
Uh-huh.
So she has the collusion against Trump timeline. And she does include two sources. And she said it's a work in progress. She starts, but you can follow it if you want to, her work in progress.
All right.
On the collusion against Trump's, you know, stating, and she's the kind of, you know, reporter that would do that.
Right.
Investigative reporter saying, well, look, everybody's covering this. Well, what about this? And that's what she did. It's the collusion against Trump. So you may want to check that out. The other two really big news stories that both are, they're really not First Amendment stories, but they're made into First Amendment stories, and so it gives us an opportunity to explain the First Amendment and find out how many people have no idea what the First Amendment is about. One is the National Football League that came up with a new policy yesterday mm-hmm. for kneeling during the national anthem, and it's very, very simple. If you are going to come out for the national anthem, you must stand. If you do not wish to come out for the national anthem, you can stay in the locker room.
Yeah.
But if you come out for the national anthem, you must stand. If you don't, the NFL can fine your team, and the team is then expected to take disciplinary action against the player who does it. The team can fine the player. So you have a choice. You can stay in, or you can come out. But you can't come out and kneel. You must show respect for the national anthem. At NFL games from now on. Of course, the left went crazy. I brought earlier about Michael Moore talking about freedom of speech. We've had a few phone calls. Well, his freedom of speech is being denied. And as we started the show, just to make sure, because we need to start off the show, and even in this last hour, do the exact same thing again, which is freedom of speech has nothing to do with when you're at work. Nothing.
Right.
It's about the government either punishing you for your free speech or restricting your free speech. It has nothing to do with when you're at work and a code of conduct or the fact that, no, sorry, this is a time at work to do this. And as we had one caller, you don't lose your rights at work. Actually, you do lose a significant number of rights when you're at work. Why? In exchange for the agreement that you make with them to acquire money, you agree to do certain things, which of course limit your rights, but you have agreed to limit your rights by working for that company.
You hit the pause button. You suspend those rights until you get home.
That's just the reality of it. You may not like it. You may not wish to admit it. But as we had one caller who wouldn't admit it, but facts are facts.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the federal judge yesterday that didn't do anything but said that the president blocking people from his Twitter account was unconstitutional. Now, she didn't do anything about it. She didn't say they have to stop. She just said it's unconstitutional,
yeah,
which means it goes nowhere. The judge is wrong. Twitter, it is not a public forum, as she states it is. It has got nothing to do with the government. The president, Twitter could say the president's gone tomorrow. Twitter could say you're gone tomorrow for any reason or for no reason. Why? Because when you agreed to go on Twitter and you checked all those little boxes, that's what you agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
And in their agreement, it says they can ban you for any reason or no reason. So that, again, nothing to do with free speech. And this is the most frustrating thing about really being a talk show host at this time in history, going on 29 years this October for me, is that when I started doing talk radio, everybody was really in agreement. They knew what the First Amendment meant. They knew what the separation of powers were. They knew, understood the three branches of government. Today, it's basically talking to the people that do understand the concepts and then people that, because of ignorance, that is not stupidity, it means a complete and total lack of knowledge of our Constitution and how our government is actually set up, what our Constitution does. They are completely ignorant on the Constitution, and that's what we deal with each and every day, is saying, nope, that's not right. Nope, that's not right. Nope, here's the way it is. No, it isn't.
Judge Buchwald also said that it would be preferable for the president or one of his staffers who runs his social media account to simply mute the followers. So what she's saying is it's unconstitutional to block them from them issuing the opinion on Twitter, but you can block them from you seeing it or anyone seeing it on Twitter. It was a bizarre statement that had no binding effect, no order coming from it. There was no order that says the judge or the president has to stop here, that anyone on his staff has to stop. They can keep blocking anybody they want because she knows she has no power over Twitter. Twitter can decide what the rules are going to be, including, as you mentioned, they can decide if they want to suspend the president's account forever.
By the way, has this judge, let's check to see if she's on Facebook, and she's one of the ones that has issued one of those proclamations about what Facebook can or cannot do.
Right, yes. I hereby do not allow Facebook to share or use any of my information. Yeah, you did when you clicked that agree button when you were so eager to get on Facebook. Twitter is not a public forum. It's a company that put a website together, and it doesn't matter if all the billions, every single living person, I almost said animal. That would be wrong, wouldn't it?
No, stop it.
Every single living person had an account and was active on Twitter. It doesn't matter. They still control it. It's their turf. They can set the rules. And if the president violates those rules, president doesn't have any special powers that beyond what any other user on Twitter has. He has none. He gets to do the same thing that anybody else does based on the rules set forth by Twitter. It's Twitter's world when you're on Twitter. You can think it's your world. You can live in the fantasy that it's your world. See, this is the self, well, this, well, this, even, the even, self-centered.
Even Congress can live in the fantasy that it's everybody's world, Facebook. Because you and I said, well, I don't expect Facebook to be even-handed. They're a private organization. They can do whatever they want. Now, it could affect their bottom line.
It's like saying, well, this land is in the U.S., so I can be here. I have the right to be here. Nope. I own this chunk of land, and you can't. You can't. It's not a public forum. And Again, the president does not have any power over anybody on Twitter that disagrees with the president. They can go on Twitter and try and build their followers, and they can issue their statements to counter the president. They can have their arguments all day long. Now, the government can't come in and take any of those Twitter followers and silence them or put them in jail or punish them in any way for issuing that opinion. That's where the First Amendment would come in.
Okay, here's a more important question. Did the judge say that nobody can block the president either?
Exactly, right. Well, because that would be the next question. What if a lawmaker on the left blocked the president? Let's just for instance, I don't know, Chuck Schumer. I'm just pulling a name out of thin air. I don't even know if a Chuck Schumer exists. I'm just using name, right? Like John Smith. Chuck Schumer. Let's just say he's a, I don't know, senator from a blue state, like, we'll pick an easy one, New York. And he decides to block the president. Does he have the right to do that? I would ask that judge. The fact is, yes, he does. He can play by the rules, and Twitter can decide whether they want your account, whether they want your business or not. You don't get the right to decide that because you don't own Twitter. Ooh, if you want to, you can get some money together, maybe borrow some money and buy Twitter. That would put you in control. But it never puts the government in control. It never puts the government in control. The government can't punish the Kardashians. We're making a comment about what was the...
We wish they could, but they can't.
Yeah, right, right. It was, what was Snapchat? One of the Kardashians made a comment about Snapchat one day, and the stock fell drastically.
Yes,
that day. I was like, whoa, I used to think that they didn't have any power. It's clear the Kardashians are in control of the world. But, you know, when you look at that and you look at the impact, you ask yourself, you know, what is the impact? What is the influence? It doesn't matter. What is the power? That's the question when it comes to the First Amendment. They don't have, the government doesn't have the power to punish, or you have the protection from the government in terms of punishing you for an opinion or a thought on any forum and in public.
And just so you know, the NFL is not a branch of the United States government.
No,
just so
you didn't, you're there is nothing in the Constitution to protect you from punishment by the NFL.
No, that just so people know, because some people that we've even talked to today are under that mistaken impression that
yes.
It is. By the way, has the WWE come up with a tag team, a tag team by the name of the Animals? Because I would if I were them.
Yeah, they probably, you know, I think they did actually.
Did they?
Not the Animals, but I mean, I think they had an animal guy.
Because you were just talking about the Animals.
Yeah, right.
You'd mentioned that. I just wondered, wow, they're always on top of popular culture. I do that.
Well,
you know, Vince McMahon would do
I'm
something.
I'm asking.
All right, the Animals.
Is it now called a hashtag team? I don't know. I have no idea.
Only in virtual wrestling.
Exactly. It's 2018. We don't use real people anymore. It's just all of these robots.
Your calls and comments coming up next, 866-90-RED-EYE.
There was much talk last week about U.S., Canadian, and Mexican negotiators getting an updated North American Free Trade Agreement done by now. NAFTA 2.0 is still being crafted by negotiation teams, with the update as the chief ag negotiator for the U.S. Trade Representative's Office, Greg Dowd.
We have closed 9 chapters and 6 sectoral annexes. We're still working on NAFTA. There's obviously still a lot to be done.
And Ambassador Dowd earlier this week said, despite the talk of deadlines as of late,
our position on the NAFTA negotiations is obviously you'd rather have it done right than be in a big hurry.
He adds, for context, the complexity of updating NAFTA versus its original development almost 3 decades ago.
NAFTA, the original time, was not a trilateral negotiation. We'd already really kind of negotiated with Canada in 88, so it was really just bringing Mexico on board. Let me tell you, the complexity of doing this 3 ways is exponential. The other point is that when we did NAFTA, the Internet really hadn't existed yet.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Kenneth in Nashville on Twitter decision by the federal judge. Actually, not an opinion by the judge. Hi, Kenneth. You're on Red Eye Radio.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
I'd just like to say that you guys seem to be very knowledgeable about the issues that you discuss, and that's one of the reasons I called, and you also seem to go without any overt bias on the issues. On the Twitter decision about the judge saying that he can't block, I don't see how that can be a First Amendment issue, seeing as how Twitter is not an official government channel, and
right.
I believe you've already covered that.
Well, and she made the point, in fact, yeah, Judge Buchwald even pointed out that he started this account as a private citizen. This is his personal account.
Yeah.
And so he started this, but then became a government employee, essentially, and then, you know, she equated it to, I don't know, like an airport being built and then it being made a public airport, which, by the way, was apples and oranges. Because
Here's
what it comes down to, is that he doesn't have any power over people. That is not a punishment in terms of blocking someone on any social media. But beyond that, the Constitution does not allow for the consideration of protection from Twitter. Twitter has the power here. The president or any other user, any other account holder, has no power over anyone else that they don't have, that those users don't have in the same right. So this is a non-issue. It's not a First Amendment issue. The government's not punishing anybody for their opinion.
Let me ask you this. If the Corporation of Public Broadcasting had some kind of Twitter account that the president was on, could the president block because they are funded by taxpayer funds?
Right.
What would the judge rule on that? But even that, I don't think, would apply because it's in essence a separate entity. Look, the First Amendment is about punishing the government, punishing or limiting your free speech where you have the right to have free speech. You don't have the right to have free speech everywhere.
It's Twitter that limits the access, because Twitter created the rule that limits the access when you block someone.
That mechanism is
put in place by Twitter.
They've allowed it. That's their rule. That's their regulation. It's not the president.
In the Twitterverse, they rule the world. They have the ultimate power, and there is no constitution unless they say there is. And, by the way, you agreed to that constitution when you signed up for an account.
Let's talk to Scott in Louisville, Kentucky. Scott, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Very good.
I'm listening to the guy that was complaining about Colin Kaepernick. Everyone wants to hyperventilate about the First Amendment, but all things being equal, go to the Second Amendment. We all have the right to own and possess a firearm. I personally have a concealed carry permit from the state of Indiana that allows me to carry, and I carry everywhere except at work because my employer asks no weapons to be brought to work.
Right.
So it's not my time.
Right. It's limited. There are rules and regulations. There are government buildings where you can't carry. There are private buildings where you can't carry, and those are the local laws. And that's, again, the limitations, and that's the limitations on the First Amendment, because, again, the punishment here or reaction or action is by the NFL. It's not by the government. There is no government entity that is punishing you for your First Amendment free speech right. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate it.
You know, he makes a great point, and we had some discussion on that because I remember we would get calls from gun rights activists who would say, you know, look, I should be able to carry anywhere I want, even into a private, you know, place. And we said, well, no. That's property rights. Private property rights make it so that that property owner, his rights supersede your Second Amendment right on his property. We got some pushback on that.
Right.
It's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
We might be able to have a bigger debate on public property, but then again, that goes up, you know, that goes back to local leaders and rules there and regulations there. But on private property, those property rights also exist, and the property owner has the right to say no. For Omnitrax, here's your forecast.
Unsettled weather continues in the south. Basically, we have a stationary front along the Tennessee Valley. That'll keep the moisture south of about I-20. From Mobile to Atlanta, we'll most likely see the heaviest showers today. So along I-10, then up to Atlanta on I-85, the heaviest of showers today. We'll really be looking for more intense showers as the week ends, with a tropical disturbance pushing moisture into the south. But continuing today's forecast, things will be clearing out somewhat as you move northward. Now, along coastal Carolina, you'll see those showers fairly heavy into Virginia Beach today. Then for the northeast, things begin to clear out until you get up into Maine. For the Midwest, it's a day of drying with some high pressure in place. There is a chance for some severe weather in North Dakota as a low pressure area there keeps things on the wet side. Inching our way to the weekend, your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Have no fear. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
All across America. I'm sorry, I'm just reading. I'm on social media. Just on Facebook reading from our friend Dale. Mm-hmm. Dale's a radio guy. And he writes, a longtime friend unfriended me yesterday over the NFL national anthem issue.
Wow. Really?
I know.
Really? Wow.
I mean, of all the things to unfriend somebody about, that's it. I've had it on the NFL issue.
Wow.
I'm gonna let him know we are talking about you. We are talking about you, Dale.
Well, I remember Facebooking a comment about watching a Cowboys game, and it was like a day or two after Joan Rivers' funeral. And on Facebook, I'm a lifelong Cowboys fan, and I wrote, wow, Joan Rivers' funeral wasn't this sad. I wrote that about the Cowboys, and then hashtag Dallas Cowboys. Now, of course, all my friends and family are on my Facebook. I didn't get one person unfriending me over that.
But he writes, he goes, I stand by my view. When you are on an employer's clock, you have to do what they tell you to do. The First Amendment protects you from government restriction on your free speech expression. You can express yourself when you are not on the employer's clock. To put it simply, on your time, on your dime. I respect people who disagree with me, but I think I'm right on this one. Think? No, you are.
No, the Constitution says you're right.
Our friend Dale Carter. So I just happened to do it. He just posted it here in the last couple of minutes. And I'm thinking, he's a radio guy. So I'm thinking to myself, was he listening? Because I think he listens to us for show prep, too, for his show.
Hmm.
So I'm going
to. He makes a list of things not to do. Clearly.
But no, I just saw the passion in it. And I just, a longtime friend unfriended me. It's.
Wow.
On the NFL issue? Really? Yeah. I can see if I unfriended Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you'd have to friend me first.
then no, let's not start that rumor. Let's not start the rumor that
it's not
we're
a
not
rumor, it's true.
That we're not friends off the air at all. That we don't associate. that's like what, 6-7 years old now.
Yeah.
But if you kept harassing me and saying Cowboys beat the Bills twice in the Super Bowl, then I might unfriend. That would be a reason to unfriend.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. For me, I will unfriend, like a friend of mine who posted the recent study that said if you eat bacon and processed meats and drink alcohol, you have a 40% greater risk of cancer.
Oh, I'm unfriending.
I unfriended the person that posted that study. Because I don't want to know that. Not because I dislike the person or discount the study.
Well, maybe and our friend Dale, who said, you know, he unfriended somebody, and we said this to start off the show, that we know we're going to get this. We're going to get people that will go all the way down the path as we have lined out why it's not a free speech violation.
Mm-hmm.
because the, you know, it's not the government doing it, and they still won't agree with us, even if they agree with us. And we actually got that call where a guy agreed with us, but still said it was his right. And it was like, well, no, it's not. And you just, for some reason, they just, and I don't know what it is. I don't know how people can form an opinion based on ignorance. That's not stupidity. It's ignorant. It's ignorance, the lack of facts. And then stubbornly stick to that no matter what, no matter when, even when they get to the point of 99% agreeing with you, as with that caller we had earlier, and we said, well, you're agreeing with us. No, I'm not. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
And that's where we are as a society, and that's where the disconnect is. You want to know where the disconnect is? It's on issues like that. It's on issues like when you see everybody talking about Twitter yesterday. See, the federal judge said it's unconstitutional, violating people's free speech rights. With all due respect, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And that's to the federal judge also.
Yeah.
Because it's true. The Constitution and free speech is free speech. It's about the government.
Right.
It's not about what you can do at work. What is so hard to understand? That's not rocket science.
And the government is not... Donald Trump blocking you on Twitter does not equate punishment or any kind of official government action against you that infringes on any right. It's just silly. But this is what we've come to expect. And so, again, we go back and ask the question, great, we'll stay right here in Manhattan, Judge Buchwald. Can Senator Schumer block the president on Twitter? We'll wait for your answer.
Can Senator Schumer block his cousin Amy or whatever she is?
Yeah,
she's
right.
Some kind of
cousin, niece, second cousin, something.
Something like that, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
Right.
The interesting thing is, you know, I know they're related because they both irritate me in the same way, even though they do two
different
separate
things. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Same
and
level of irritation.
Exactly. The same
for
level.
Two very different reasons.
All right. Actually, I saw her with Seinfeld on. It's the only thing I've really ever seen her on. Comedians in Cars.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually really good.
She's funny. Here's the thing is that on the, a couple of the, I saw part of one stand-up special. It's totally not my brand of comedy. It's not what I like the observational stuff. I don't like the throw it out in your face. And because I say something over the top and vulgar, it's going to be funny because it was shocking or blunt or any of that. Sometimes that can work, but it doesn't when she does it. And I think she's funnier when she's just doing, you know, comedy. When she's mm-hmm. doing things, well, that are funny. She's funniest when she's saying things that are funny.
Well, that's a good expectation you have there of a comedian.
That's my standard.
That's a pretty decent standard.
If you're going to be a comedian, how about you be funny?
And have a point.
And have a point.
Let's talk to Steve in California. Steve, hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome.
Morning, guys. Morning, America.
Hi.
As far as when I was in school, my understanding how I was taught was the only people that can violate the Constitution are a government or a government entity. A private citizen or a private organization cannot do anything unconstitutional because it's the Constitution is constructed to protect me from the government.
Yes.
And as far as employment goes, that's sort of a pseudo a dictatorship between me and somebody else. It's a mutual agreed upon dictatorship.
Yeah.
I will pick me what I want done,
yeah.
And you agree to do it for a set amount of money.
Exactly.
Right.
It's that simple.
That's the condition, right, right.
Right, I get to be your temporary dictator. You know, it's an interesting point you bring up, and the questions I would have, because you bring up an interesting point, only the government can do something that's unconstitutional, but technically... me murdering you.
Well, that violates your rights. That violates your very basic right.
Is that criminal? Because a lot of times we're talking about civilly unconstitutional versus criminally unconstitutional, even though we don't view it that way. It'd be interesting to talk to law professors, and because I understand what you're saying, as we're saying about the First Amendment, but the fact is, an individual, if they take away your life, that is your ultimate right to life, and so you're being punished for taking away somebody's right to life.
Mm-hmm. That's what the law is about.
That falls under the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
Which is part of the
in the pursuit of happiness.
And that would
be a Bill of Rights violation, not a constitutional violation.
Well, the Bill of Rights
is the government did it to me.
Bill of Rights is part of the Constitution.
I'm not arguing
with you. I'm just saying these would be questions to ask a law professor when you deal with rights. What is the difference between a First Amendment right violation versus murder? How is that actually viewed legally? And I'm not a constitutional expert. That's why I asked it as a question, not a challenge to your statement at all. More just a question of interest.
Yeah, because we do.
All right, guys, so that's my point anyway. Like I said, good morning from the end of the trucking world, San Ysidro.
And it just might be one day. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it.
I was not trying to be argumentative. It was just like, interesting statement, and that popped into my head, but murder is violating your...
And we think about, as you mentioned, civil rights. And then, of course, then beyond that, we have statutes. We have laws, of course, and the violation of the law.
For example, this is where I'd like to talk to a couple of constitutional law professors. Mm-hmm. You hear, for example, you know, if a police officer can't be charged with your murder, they can be charged with violating your civil rights. But the only reason they can be charged with violating your civil rights is because they're a government employee.
Right. Yeah.
So what's the difference legally between me murdering you, which is, again, taking away your right to life? How is, you know, on a constitutional issue, how is that viewed to be an interesting conversation? I was not arguing with you because I am ignorant of some of those constitutional facts. Since I've accused other people of being ignorant, I will show you where my ignorance also is that I have to do some study up on. But it would be an interesting discussion to have. That's all. Let us talk to, we have Asa in Colorado. Asa, hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, holy cow. Can't believe I'm actually talking to you guys. I love you guys. Agree with 98% of what you say. However, the 2% is minutia.
How dare you?
Yes, how dare I? So, okay. So if you are an employee, and I've been an employer, an employee. However, constitutional right. If you actually look at the Constitution, yes, you have the right to say whatever you want, whenever you want. However, if you are an employee, that doesn't suspend your constitutional rights to say what you want.
They're not protected in the same way. So, in fact, it does.
What you're saying is you can still say it.
You have the right to say whatever you want. However, as an employee, if you say this, you are gone.
So they have the right to fire you, which means you have no essential right to say it. It's all conditional.
No, you have the right to say whatever you want.
I know we're splitting hairs here, and here's that 2% right coming back at you, Asa, because you're getting into the minutia of splitting the hairs here, because there is nothing that protects you in that situation.
Right, because you don't have the right. You may say it, but you don't have the right, because if your employer fired you, then you could sue them. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you don't have the right.
No. You have the right to say whatever you want. However, the employer has the right to terminate you.
No, then you had no right to. You had no right to say it. You may have said it.
Because we're talking about rights here. We're not talking about the physical ability to do it. There's a difference. Because if you had a right to say it, then you would be protected from punishment by that employer as well.
No. That's where you guys are getting into.
Because what you're saying is, because
the 2% we disagree.
Hold on a second. If they fired you, you wouldn't have recourse. If they have the right to fire you, that means you have
correct.
No recourse.
No, you have no recourse.
No,
which
Asa,
means you had no right.
I'll end this now. If you tell your boss at 10 o'clock this morning, I am going to say this, mm-hmm. and your boss says, you are? Yes. Well, then you're fired now. You never got to say it. Therefore, you didn't have a right, and you have no recourse.
Or if they fire you for something you just said.
You guys are looking at that's a legal contract.
That's what we're talking about rights.
We're way out of time here. We're talking legal, though.
But
that's
you had
the
no
point.
Legal recourse, right. which means you had no right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
The dates and location for the 36th annual Shell Rotella Super Rigs contest are set. Dave Waterman from Shell has the details.
We are going to be at White's Travel Center in Raphine, Virginia. It's a little bit outside of Lexington, Virginia, right off of I-81 and I-64. It was designed way back when as a way for Shell Rotella to give back to the trucking community, appreciation for all they did and all the support of our brand. It's an event that really encourages truckers to get together, whether they're going to show a show caliber truck or just their daily driver that might have some scratches and dings in it. It's open to all of them. And in fact, we encourage, as you know, the working truck. Judging, of course, is going to take place Thursday through Saturday. We're going to have a light contest taking place on Thursday, and then we'll do a truck parade down to Old Town Lexington. There's also be health checks available for truckers on site. We're going to do the scavenger hunt again so folks can walk away with prizes. Just on the Shell Rotella Super Rigs part of it, it's up to $25,000 in both cash and prizes.
They want to learn more. Where do they go?
Well, they can go to Rotella.com. They can also go to whitestravelcenter.com.
This Super Rigs update is a service of Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. Are you going to remember to come in tomorrow?
I've been thinking it's Friday all morning long. I thought it was Thursday.
All morning long is he's talking about like today the weekend starts. Eric, you going to make it in tomorrow?
It's not. I hope so. I hope I'll be here. I hope you'll be here.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.